Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
I mean, it's rest. I mean, this, people don't want to listen to that because it's way too simple. It's just a simple concept. If you're more rested, you tend to do what you do better. If you're not, you tend to do it not as good. They don't let pilots fly too long. They don't let bus drivers drive too long. I don't like to drive my RV more than 6 or 7 hours. You lose something. We all do. It's just difficult where because it's one of those nebulous concepts where you just can't wrap your mind around it, except it's true.
Middays on the Score.
Hard to argue with Joe Madden in that regard. It's probably a little more complicated than that, but I think he certainly makes a reasonable point. The top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the 17th-ranked Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Season and single-game tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Let's talk some Cubs, shall we? This guy covers them for the Tribune. He is on Twitter at MDGonzalez. Mark Gonzalez joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Happy second half, Gonza. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. Really good. And it was an experience for me listening to the entire Cubs game via the radio when I was driving back. But, boy, the energy in that building that had really crescendoed for the series, for the return of this team, and then for those back-to-back home runs, it was palpable coming through as I'm driving on 94. What did it feel like in the building?
I was there Friday, and I felt the same thing, and tip of the cap to the fans. You know, it wasn't 70-degree weather. It was much warmer, and for them to respond as well as the players is almost like having a 10th man out there.
Gonzo, we were looking at the trade deadline quite anxiously, I think, in some cases of Cubs fans. Do you get the sense that, you know, there seem to be a number of things on the wish list for the Cubs? Do you get the sense that in order to get multiple things, the quality of those are going to have to come down some, that you can't get a top-notch lefty and a top-notch, you know, whatever, on-base guy, whatever position, that you might have to compromise one place or another?
Yeah, I was just looking over some lists of guys they would have to give up in order to get big-ticket guys or address certain needs. And looking back even last few years, the guys they've given up and how they've ascended, you know, one guy that came to mind was that Isaac Paredes, who's in the Tiger system and doing quite well. That guy came in the Justin Wilson Avila deal, and he's faring quite well. He hasn't made it to the majors yet, and you kind of look at, okay, what guys can they afford to give up without feeling a big hit? And at this time, it's really tough, really, really tough. They might have to go the route they did with a trade or two last year, just giving up lower-level guys and hope that the guys they get in return fulfill a need, and you're able to replace the guy you gave up, you know, with guys in the system.
Where are we now with another two extra base hit performance for Robel Garcia? And he started off really bad in the field, and he might not be great, but he just has to avoid the spasms of bad. What is your second base distribution of innings start to look like if they feel they need that stick in the lineup?
I think it's going to be similar to how they treated Kyle Schwarber last year, where you use his bat for 2-3 at-bats, and then you put in Addison Russell to play defense. I can't see any way around it. I think Joe's going to ride the hot hand, and right now Garcia's that guy capable of giving him some good at-bats, as he's done since he's been up. You know, the defense, yeah, it's a little crude. And if you can get by on that, and look back at Daniel Murphy last year, cool. Same deal. So you might be looking at that situation where Russell or somebody else comes in for defensive purposes late in games.
Gonzo, are they comfortable having three nominal outfielders on the roster, but with Chris Bryant kind of mixing in? Is that how Joe expects to get David Bote, his PT, the rest of the way, barring a trade?
I think that's the plan for right now. There's got to be a way that David gets more at-bats, but in the meantime, you got to win games. And I'm not saying David's, you know, not capable of contributing, because he has contributed to wins. But I just see Joe, you know, maximizing his roster. In this case, it's using Bryant in the outfield and squeezing in David where he can. But he's going to go with the matchups as well. So if it means Almora in center and Hayward in right, so be it.
Why Alec Mills? Why not Adbert Alzolay? This seems like there's something being planned here for a reason.
Well, I was also looking at Colin Ray too. He's 10-2 with a 3.24 ERA. I think Mills, and I was looking at his performance from last year. There was one start that impressed me, even though it came in a loss to the Mets. He gave a grand slam to the Todd Frazier in the first inning, but then settled down and was in a groove. He was one out away from getting out of the inning. Now you can play the what ifs, but I just like, you know, Mills. It seems like there's more of a certainty. Azalea looked very, very polished in his first two starts, and then he got knocked around against the Pirates. They also started him on a Friday for Iowa, so that would have him on short rest if he came back. So I thought that was a non-starter from there. I think Mills, I have always liked him in the snippets that I've seen him, and I think that if you're looking for a guy that says, okay, who gives us the best chance at giving us five innings, he might be the guy.
Gonzo, I'm looking up and down and trying to anticipate what may have to be done once the Cubs do make a deal here, because I think many expect that they will get something moved. What is their potential to stomach eating Daniel Descalso's contract? I know it hasn't turned out for him, but he does have an option for next year. Do they still look at him as a potential solution at some point?
It's not an option. It is guaranteed for next year.
Oh.
So
I thought it was a vesting. I thought it was a vesting number.
It's the following year.
Fair enough. So it's set and it's done.
Yeah, it's not expensive, but it is guaranteed for next year.
Well, that solves that issue. Well, I guess it doesn't solve any issues for them, but that does stick them with something in that infield then.
Yeah, because I was talking to him in spring training, because he had 8 years of service time coming in, and I had said, hey, nice job with your agent, because if this thing plays out, you're going to be fully vested in the pension plan for 10 full seasons. And
wow.
He says, I didn't think about that, but yeah, you're right. So, but that's another story. I think I'm kind of curious as to how this plays out, because somebody's going to have to come off the big league roster. That's my observation at this point. I could be wrong. I just think, you know, with so many second basemen on this roster and trying to address needs, somebody's going to have to come off the roster. That's
well, Descalso, right? I mean, it's obviously Descalso is the odd man out because he's bad.
Yeah, if you're going by performance, I mean, he's the guy that stands out at this point.
Speaking of which, why is Mike Montgomery awful? And how can he continue to matter for this team? I know he's been important. I know they traded Danny Vogelbach for him. But right now, his peripherals are even worse than his regular numbers. A 5.67 ERA, a fielder independent pitching of 6.21. There's no way to talk around how much he's struggled, and has he played his way out of any meaningful situations?
I think so at this point. And you also look at what lefties are hitting against him. I think it's pretty high. I think it's in the threes, isn't it? But it's just been the perfect storm for him, starting from spring training when his shoulder was stiff and he just fell behind, and it's been, instead of catching up, he's kind of regressed a little bit in terms of the pecking order. And that's the guy I see that I could see him being moved. But for what? I don't know. But you know what? He might be a change of scenery guy at this point.
Talk with Mark Gonzalez, who covers the Cubs for the Chicago Tribune. Gonzo, I wonder, you know, we heard from John Lester in the Madden's post-broadcast last night on the Score about his team and his perception that the guys in that clubhouse are just kind of adrenaline junkies, that they feed off of that once the season gets down to crunch time. Is that kind of pervasive in that clubhouse? Do you feel that? Have you heard that before from guys, even though the schedule has kind of assaulted them a little bit each of the last 2 years?
Yeah, I heard about dating back to 2017, where, you know, they just said enough is enough with this World Series hangover, time to ratchet up and all that. But I kind of look at it the other way. Okay, if you're ratcheting up now, why couldn't you do it earlier when you lost, you know, winnable games? You know, I look back to that loss on that Wednesday night in Pittsburgh, and they gave a great effort, but the bottom line is they lost. And, you know, the games that you lose that you should have won in the first half make it doubly tough in the second half when, you know, the batteries aren't fully charged as they were in the first half. So, these guys have a knack for ratcheting up, but if you're a fan, you hate to see him let games get away that make it tough in the second half, because then you're going to play the what-ifs. You know, if we hadn't given this game away, what if he thinks easier in the second half?
I don't know if you heard John Lester on Madden's Post, the latest iteration of that broadcast, where John Lester listened to Joe Madden talk about rest and some of that stuff, and he made sure to be heard on this when he goes, hold on a second, because I think part of the reason we're good in the second half is because we prefer the second half. We like to have some pressure on us. He said we're adrenaline junkies. And I'm thinking, well, wait a second. Where was that team feasting on the adrenaline opportunities at the end of last year that after the fact they said, oh, yeah, we're tired? And where was that team out of the gate when Theo Epstein said urgency, 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 and they responded by losing six of their first seven? I'm not sure I buy it, but what do you make of a veteran player, the team leader perhaps, saying that, yeah, this is just our nature, it's the way we are? Is he right?
He's right in some ways, but I'll harken back to last year. You also had expanded rosters late in the second half, yeah. So you did have that depth. You know, I know 40 out of 42, whatever it was, or 42 out of 43, that was demanding. But at least you had seven or eight extra guys to deal with. As far as the adrenaline junkie stuff, I understand that part. But you know, it goes back to what Theo said. You know, one through 162, every game matters.
What do you hear about Cole Hamels? Is it possible that he's able to return to the rotation a little bit earlier than everybody thought after the diagnosis came through?
I think it's going to be a careful process, a deliberate process. He knows his body as well as anybody. The tough thing is this guy is pretty well fit. He's a very good athlete. You've seen him swing the bat as well as pitch and feel his position. But he knows that, you know, one move where you try to push it too much and you're done. So my guess is it's still going to be mid-August, but the fact that he's playing catch and might ratchet up soon, that's a good sign, because it's been, what, two and a half weeks since he felt the tug?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I don't think his arm is deconditioned that much. So I think it's an encouraging sign, positive. Wait and see.
Joe's made no secret about liking the six-man rotation coming out of the All-Star break. Do you expect him to extend his preferred window for as long as Hamels is out, preferred window for a six-man rotation as long as Hamels is out, or will they have to shrink it back if he goes a little bit longer on the IL than they think?
I would say by the beginning of August you might see it in some forms. Right now, they're blessed with some days off. You know, look at the next, I think the next two Thursdays, they're off, and then they get one back on a Monday, the last Monday in July. So they can really manipulate the rotation any way they want and get by with a four-man staff in most cases. But then as we head into August, it's a different animal. I think they have like two or three Mondays off the top of my head. So, but I think there's going to be some stretches where they just have to use a five-man.
Where are we on Edwards and Morrow?
Great question on Edwards, because – you know, I was under the assumption that he was going to be back and for the second half, and they said we got to work on some things. And he's only thrown once since the start of the second half. So I'm a little baffled, because he definitely needs the work to get sharp. As with Morrow, I think it's just a matter of when he starts getting back in a mound and starts pitching in rehab games, then I think we can get excited. But until then, you know, I wouldn't hold my breath.
What would be, and we kind of went over the trade deadline and just how expensive acquiring a big-time piece would be in terms of their minor league spots, but were you getting any sense in the week prior to the break, or even, you know, sniffs now that a blockbuster-type thing is in the plans for them, or would it have to be, I don't know, essentially presented to them and then make sense?
First of all, there has to be matches, and we see scouts, you know, studying these guys, and they also study their minor league system. Usually, I know in the case of a Tigers trade a few years ago, they pretty much had an idea who they wanted, and Theo told the Tigers, you know, go look at our system, see who you like, and get back to me, that sort of thing. I think we're almost at that point now where you look and see, okay, realistically, what's a match? But as far as the big ticket guy, I just think the way they are right now with their finances and all that, they'd probably have to move some money to get it done, unless it was a very short term big ticket guy.
So the Reds are next up for them, and Luis Castillo, a terrific pitcher, is going to challenge Kyle Hendricks tonight. What do you make of the Reds as a very talented, occasionally immensely productive offensive team that just haven't been able to win enough games? Are they a danger to the Cubs?
Yeah, they are. I mean, I think just the way they've handled them this year, and what you referred to earlier with just their offense, it's one you just can't turn your back on. You think there's guys that you can pitch around, but you can't. I mean, even Kirk Casale's having a heck of a year, and I watched him very closely in the last series, and he's a pretty good pitch framer, and that's a bonus, because you know the guy they had, I think Barnhart, who was banged up before, you know, was always lauded for his defense, but you know Casale's a guy that I like a lot.
How much do you attribute Jason Hayward's incredible resurgence, especially over the last 6 weeks, to a guy like Anthony Iaposi, or is this all kind of self-made?
I think most of it's self-made. I'm sure he took some bits and pieces from what Anthony suggested to him. But, you know, Jason has had so many hitting coaches that I think he's at that point now where he can sift through what works for him, what doesn't. And I think Anthony is really good with words. With these guys, he's really a guy that convey positive thoughts, maybe suggest something, not in a negative way, that hey, you're doing this wrong. He's not that type of guy, and I think that Jason for the most part is maximizing everything that's been presented to him and displaying it pretty well.
What's going on with the pitchers hitting lately? Just it's one thing, Lester, we know is a big, strong dude, and we know that with this baseball you can really get into it, but I was not expecting that from Quintana.
Oh, I love it. You know, this is one of my biggest issues in baseball, is if you're going to be in the National League, why not help your cause by being a polished hitter? I mean, I've seen Curt Schilling in 2001. He executed about 15 sacrifice bunts, and he kept himself in games and helped his team to win. Now, I asked him about it later on, and he says, well, I'm still for the DH because, you know, it could have been your Rubio Durazo taking those at-bats instead of me. But, but you know, as long as there's not a DH in the National League, why not have the pitchers make a more concerted effort to hit up there, be less of an easy out? And I really applaud what John and Jose have done the last couple of games, because it does matter.
Last one for you as we let you go, Gonzo. If you're making the decision, are you putting more resources toward acquiring bullpen help or on base-y, second base, outfield-type help?
Man, I've been leaning more toward the latter, but I still think that they could use another lefty. Ryan has done terrific recently, but I still think you need more help there, because I think there's some hope that you can get enough out of the offense, especially after what they did in late April and early May.
Mark, thank you.
Take care, guys.
That is Mark Gonzalez of the Tribune, brought to you by the Chicago Skyway. To you listening, currently stuck in traffic, or anyone who's ever been stuck in traffic, take the Chicago Skyway for shorter drive times and less traffic. It's literally a shorter route to your destination. The Chicago Skyway, it's Chicago's shortcut.
I think I'm with Gonzo there. I think if I'm splitting up the pie of resources available to the Cubs to go get something, I think I'm pushing more toward a reliever right now than I am, you know, kind of your Eric Sogard type, or your, you know, utility infielder on some other crappy team that you think can slide into a couple of different paths. But I had, you know, he makes a good point. I had misread the Daniel Descalso contract. Next year is guaranteed. I thought it was a vesting option. It's not. That's the 2021 option. So this is, it would take a lot of, I don't know, you'd have to eat a lot of crow, I guess, to take Daniel Descalso off the 25-man roster. That would be difficult for them to do. Not necessarily burdensome financially. I think it's 2.5 for next year, but it would be meaningful for them to have to look at a decision they thought they made well on the cheap and say, no, we screwed that up.
We've got Cubs tickets to give away, good tickets. The Cubs and the Padres on Saturday, July 20th. You got to be listening if you want to win. Now, I noticed on my screen here, I noticed that Trubisky is a trending Twitter topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of said, well, what's why is he trending? And Connor told me, don't click on it.
Don't click.
I didn't.
Don't click.
I didn't.
I'm glad you didn't, because for those of you who are jonesing for a little bit of football, 10 days out from the Bears reporting in camp, I have a list for you. I have a good list.
Okay.
It's quarterback.
You notice this list? Huh? I'm always making lists.
Liam Neeson is not on the list, but I can tell you Trubisky is, and you may be shocked to find out where he ranks. It's Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, how do you think Trubisky did?
Trubisky.
Mitch. Trubisky.
Trubisky's inaccurate.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves will open the season on Saturday, October 5th for group and season tickets. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Okay, you said I couldn't click.
I told you you couldn't click.
And
you clicked?
I did not click.
Good. Glad. Some integrity to this list, then. I have a list in front of me, subjective though it may be. I know the folks over at Madden do the best they can to take in-game stuff, put it into the video game, and make it as accurate as they possibly can when it comes to the performance of players. Sure, some years they just take last year's game and then put new skins over the thing, and you spend the $75 on absolutely nothing, and then most of the season slamming your head into a controller, wondering why did I buy this thing over again? But mostly, the guys over at EA do a pretty good job. So, I have your top Madden quarterback ratings for the coming football season. I have 23 in front of me, and then a sidebar with another veteran quarterback who is listed with a rating here. I don't have exactly where he is in the top 30 quarterbacks, but I think a good reference point will aid with that veteran. Want to take a stab, Dan Bernstein, who has never played a down of Madden football in his life?
Correct.
Or has it? Okay.
I've watched it play.
Who is the top-rated quarterback for Madden?
Patrick Mahomes.
It is Patrick Mahomes. He is a 97 overall. The man he defeated is number two. Tom Brady is 96.
Where's Rodgers?
Care to take a guess? Okay, you want to take a stab at a couple more? Fill out a top five. Let's do this. Fill out as best you can your top, let's call it five, because there's a little bit of a line of demarcation once you get through the fifth guy. So your top five Madden quarterbacks
I don't know enough about how they calculate these things, because it's different than asking who I think.
You know, agreed.
There's a lot of body of work here.
Think more. You want to think more about prolific last seasons than you do about the long-term viability of said quarterback.
Okay.
That's your hint for your top five. So you've already got Mahomes and Brady, one and two.
You could also just say, who's good, and name that guy.
You could say
Is Roethlisberger in there?
Roethlisberger is number eight. He is not top five. He's an 85.
Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson is fifth. He is a 91. You've got an old man, and a young priest, and an old priest. So you've got a kind of an older guy.
Jared Goff?
Not Jared Goff. I'll get to him. And then a younger dude on the on a little bit of a comeback trail.
Oh, older guy would be, Chargers.
Yes.
Philip
Rivers is the third best quarterback on Madden at a 94. And then your young priest is Andrew Luck, coming back off the big surgery. He's a 92. Aaron Rodgers is a 90. Matt Ryan is an 89, Roethlisberger an 85. Here's a big drop-off down to the realm of average, as Madden would rank them, I guess. Jared Goff an 83, Baker is an 83, Watson is an 82, Deshaun Watson an 82, Carson Wentz an 82, Dak Prescott an 81. Cousins is an 81.
Right.
Derek Carr is an 80.
Stafford.
Dalton is an 80. Mariota a 79. Matthew Stafford a 79. Nick Foles a 77. Are you getting worried, Bears players? Jameis Winston is a 76. And your 23rd ranked starting quarterback in
Madden
2020. No, it's Mitch Trubisky.
Go Bears!
At a 75. For reference, Jay pointed this out to me. Eli Manning is a 72 in this year's game.
Hold on, did you hear that?
Ugh.
That that's Parkins yelling from wherever he is.
Just screaming and yelling that he's got a great value bet for you. Only four 99s in this year's game. It is Aaron Donald, Bobby Wagner, DeAndre Hopkins, and Khalil Mack. Those are your only four 99 ranked players. You want a couple of top Bears for Madden? Trubisky's not on the list. He has other notable players for top-ranked Bears.
Eddie Jackson.
He is a 91, the second-best Bear in the coming game.
The second-best after Mack.
After Khalil Mack, who is a 99, yes.
And there's one more?
There's a handful that are all... They are the only two 90s. Khalil Mack and Eddie Jackson, 99 and 91.
Where is, Akeem Hicks?
Akeem Hicks is an 87. Pretty good for an interior defensive lineman. You don't get a whole lot of 90s in that, or at least you didn't when I was playing the game. Kyle Fuller, an 89. Trey Burton, an 87. Allen Robinson, an 86. Tariq is an 85. Eddie Goldman, an 85. Leno and Gabriel, 83 and 82. Roquan Smith, an 81. Haha, Clinton Dix is an 80.
I would bet on Roquan Smith to outperform that. And by the way, a lot of texters say, "Where's
Prince Amukamara?"
Say it again.
Prince Amukamara. Did I miss you saying Prince Amukamara?
I do not have. So I'm going off the Matt Urich, who is a beat reporter for the Bears, covers them for a number of different outlets, 24/7 Sports, Pro Football Writer guy. I do not have an Amukamara rating above an 80. So it's Fuller.
I would think that's a little surprising, at least.
I would agree with you, unless he or I missed one there, but I do not have him in the 80s.
Texters want to know, where was Drew Brees' name? Did you not mention him?
Did I not mention Brees? Let me just double-check.
Now,
the old...
they are calling him Breezes, the city renamed Drew Orleans.
I don't have Brees on this list. Jay, did we miss a Drew Brees, or am I just not seeing it on...
I copied and pasted. Let me check here on the old internet.
We would need to reinsert.
Brees is a 92.
92, yes.
Okay. All right, so I must have... Oh, here he is. Okay, Drew Brees, a 92. So that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yes, I guess. Again, you know the game better than I do. You know what they decide is meaningful for the purposes of the game.
It's more fantasy slanted. Than
Dan,
it
okay. It's seriously... Who's good at football?
Right, but I'm saying, but I don't know what goes into their calculation about how they come up with the number based
on
what
it's. Who's good? Is he better than him? Okay, then he should get a higher number.
So it's random.
Pitch effects.
It's not. It's actually no. It's not an actual formula.
No, they actually no. They use. I actually talked to one of the guys who does the player.
That's what I'm wondering.
Ago.
How do they do it?
They have now.
I'm just saying you don't have to take it this seriously, bro.
Well, I know. I just want to find out what they decide is important.
I'll tell you what they did. The best thing they did was, especially in the Madden game, it's less different for or less meaningful for other versions of their sports games, the EA sports games. They have now dynamic player rankings. So every couple of weeks, you will refresh the game, like if you're playing online.
Okay.
And if somebody's on a heater, his ranking will be better than he was to start the year. You know, like if you've got
it does reflect how good someone actually is
right
in real
now.
Time.
Yeah, and I think they've just started using Pro Football Focus measurements, too. Or like Pro Football Focus is part of the game now. You'll like see some of their branding and rankings and stuff in the EA game. Yeah, I go. My love affair with Madden has kind of waxed and waned. I was upset in like the middle 2010s. You remember Jay? I know you played a lot of these, where it was very clear they just took last year's and pasted it over with some new skins and stuff. But
yeah, they do that, and I still buy it every year because I get excited for football, and they exploit that for me and take my money.
At least the vision cone is gone. That was awful.
Just the worst. The worst video game sports invention they'd ever thrown in there. Although I will take this out Jay doesn't do this. Rick, I don't know where you are on this, but I'm a franchise guy. Like, I start the franchise, and then I'll play it for 25 years or so. I'll play it until all of the actual players in the game are gone. It's all just computer-generated guys. I was playing a Bears franchise 4 or 5 years ago, and I was playing it deep into, I don't know, it was probably like 2025 or something like that at the time, and I drafted a safety in the 7th round. Only because, you know, it's one of the little things that developers will do. They just kind of randomly generate names. His name was Tremendous Johnson, and he was a safety out of Clemson. I drafted him in the 7th round, and he was immediately a 99. Immediately a 99 in the game. Clearly, the developers were having
a
little bit
of
fun.
My favorite was I got to a point with a Bears team where my quarterback was Xavius Mack, and he went to Wisconsin Whitewater. Come on.
Xavius Mack from Wisconsin Whitewater.
Yeah.
Sounds like a guy that's from Appleton or something.
I was just going to get a kid out of New Berlin, heads down to Whitewater, Xavius Mack.
That's outstanding. And you play it like a legacy team that just keeps going.
You draft and you get all that kind of, yeah, absolutely.
Got to deal with the cap?
It's pretty intense. And honestly, the NFL one is probably the most rewarding franchise to create because of the length of the season. You play your 16 games and your playoffs and that kind of stuff. You don't have to play all 162 like you do in baseball. You end up simming half the season anyway. But it is fairly rewarding.
I just struggled with the issue when I heard about Cowley Gate, when Joe Cowley was beating people, but he was using some glitchy play, some illegal setup that some people say, we're not going to play a guy who plays this way. You got to play me straight up and don't do your little glitchy thing.
I wasn't happy with Cowley, but as the only guy who got him anywhere close to actually losing. I had it 4th-and-1 on the goal to take the lead. It was North Carolina versus Florida State is what he was playing at the time. He stopped me. You know, I sent Gio Bernard way out left, and Cowley was there to sniff the thing out, and I don't regret going for it. A lot of people will tell you should have kicked the field goal, but no, when you got Joe Cowley down on the one, you go for it, man. You try and punch that thing in.
He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. Next up, we're going to give away a pair of tickets for the Cubs and the Padres at Wrigley on Saturday, July 20th. Keep it right here if you want to win. You have the score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This segment's brought to you by Lakeside Bank. In banking, everyone talks about technology, but there are times you need a banker. Lakeside Bank has all the tech the big guys have and personal service. Get your own Lakeside Banker. They're always here when you need them. Lakeside Bank. It's about time. Give me another number.
Give me 7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Caller 7 to the contest line. 312-591-6700. Wins a pair of tickets to see the Cubs versus San Diego at Wrigley Field. Saturday, July 20th, courtesy of 670 The Score, your radio home of the Cubs. Thanks to Dan Connolly and Mark Gonzalez for joining us today. Zawoski, Camp, and Diaz, the producers. Brian Gertz, the video feed. Joe Ostrowski, the updates. Joe Day, tomorrow. Joe Sheehan is ours. We have lots to discuss with one of our baseball experts coming up tomorrow at 10. All sorts of other stuff as we react to the baseball games that we will have tonight and whatever else happens in the world of sports. Next up, Transition with Lawrence Holmes. Don't go anywhere. Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.